Good morning, good people. This is Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. And this morning, we are talking about the new documentary, Tell Them We Are Rising. And I'm talking with Nina Hickson, who is a HBCU graduate. Nina, welcome.
Thank you.
I guess I should say welcome back to The Local Take. But you're here this time for a different reason, to talk about your experience at HBCUs. So we're in a time period that's kind of funny because people are saying that HBCUs are an anachronism, that we don't need them. What is your response to that mindset, so to speak?
Well, I think that's wrong. And in fact, if you look at the stats currently, you will see more African-American children who are applying to HBCUs. I may not necessarily agree with the reasons in the sense that there's a feeling, there's a safety issue. There's a feeling that the atmosphere in which we find ourselves is one where there's a lot of divisiveness, a lot of hatred, and people are acting out that hatred, and parents don't want to expose their children to that. And so you have, the numbers are increasing, but besides that, my thought is, in terms of education, one size does not fit all, and that HBCUs continue to be relevant, continue to be a place that is suited for some students, maybe not all, but is suited for some, and that they still have a role to play in educating children and adults in our society.
And now, your choice of attending an HBC for undergrad, was that part of a family decision? Does your family have a history of attending HBCUs, or was that a personal decision?
I would have to say it was a family decision. I am a proud third generation HBCU attender, and my daughter, if all goes well, will be fourth generation come next year. My grandparents, both graduates of South Carolina State, where they got their undergraduate and their master's degrees. My dad finished South Carolina State, got his dental degree at Meharry. My mother went to several HBCUs because she got married while she was in college. So she started at Tougaloo, went to Southern, did some time at Fisk, finished at Delaware State. She got her master's at South Carolina State, got her PhD at University of South Carolina. But I attended Howard. My siblings attended Morehouse and Tuskegee. So we have a long legacy of HBCU attendance, plus the fact that we grew up in Orangeburg, South Carolina, which is the home of two HBCUs, both South Carolina State and Claflin University.
So that history in your family was part of the direction that led you to an HBCU. And there are a lot of people who will give the, you know, one positive thing they'll say is that HBCUs are still culturally relevant. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that? What was it about the culture of an HBCU that made a difference in your educational career?
One of the major differences was the fact that I didn't start out with a presumption of having to prove my ability because I was African American. That was something that just got eliminated. What was the focus was getting me prepared. And that's what I found. The environment was one that got me prepared. And preparation took a number of forms. While you had some professors who were very nurturing, you had others who were very demanding and had very high expectations, which was good because we tended to grow toward those expectations. Culturally, yes, it was a good experience. But I think one of the fallacies or one of the things that people misunderstand is that when you go to an HBCU that everybody is the same, has had the same experience. And the fact is you will find diversity in the culture of African Americans, whether it's regional, socioeconomic, religious, you just find, and then where we attended at Howard University, it was international. So you had Caribbean students, you had students from the African continent. And so you got a diversity of people with a diversity of experiences. and just a very rich environment.
And sometimes I've heard back that that culture that kind of nurtures and coddles is not the real world, and that you should really just, you know, throw those African-American students in those PWIs because that is closer to kind of the real world. And PWI is primarily white institution.
Right. And I've heard that also. And I can remember in law school, there would often be the debate of, well, that's not reality. But the fact is, there's no one school that suits everybody. Children have different needs. I don't feel that, while I do feel I was nurtured, I don't necessarily feel I was coddled. There were still high expectations. There were a lot of opportunities, though. Opportunities to be a leader in a number of organizations, to learn how to do things, to have to interact with individuals. And what I found was that when I went to law school, that I had had the benefit of a lot of experiences that other African-American students didn't have. And so there was a level of confidence I had in my abilities that enabled me to do well in law school.
Because those leadership opportunities that come from attending an HBCU, you know, as the editor of the yearbook at Howard, I sat on the board. So I was actually in, you know, board meetings with the right. leaders of the school.
Right.
And those are things that I cannot imagine happening if I was at a primarily white institution.
And I mean, I think some students get that benefit at a primarily white institution. I don't know if that would have happened for me. I can tell you one of the great things, well, there were several great things that I got to do going to Howard in terms of just meeting people who were doing very innovative, very productive, and things that were beneficial to the community. I also had the opportunity to serve on the national board of my sorority at the time as an undergraduate. So imagine getting to go to meetings with Dorothy Height and Jewel LaFontaine and our, you know, just various Deltas who were in very high positions. Alexis Herman, I actually got to do an internship with her while she was over the Women's Bureau at the Department of Labor. But there were just all kinds of wonderful opportunities to learn from these women who had been very successful in their lives. And I don't know if I would have had that opportunity otherwise.
I know at Clark Atlanta, one of the expressions is make a way or find a way. Find a way or make a way. And to me, that could be the theme of any HBCU, because there, you mentioned there were students, different socioeconomic groups. So there were people there trying to make tuition,
That's
you
right.
know, and then there were people there going on vacations to Europe. And, you know, so you had this wide array of folks that you were coming in contact with and engaging with. But you knew those students who had struggle, who knew what getting an education meant, and they were doing any and everything in their means possible to do it.
Absolutely. I mean, I think about one of my closest college friends, and it was every semester was, you know, am I going to have the resources? And because her parents were not college educated, they really didn't understand how to support her. So they did what the best that they could. But there were things that, because my family had a history of going to college, that they kind of knew what to do to support me in that environment. But as you indicated, I had friends who didn't have that experience. And so every semester might have been a struggle, but they made a way or they found a way. And it certainly prepared them for their future and for succeeding in very difficult environments.
You mentioned that there's been an uptick in registration and attendance at HBCUs. Do you think that young people understand that connection between education and democracy, you know, education and politics, when they walk on that campus, or is that something that comes from being in that rich cultural environment?
I would say some understand, but I would think most probably learn it as they get there. My youngest brother who went to Morehouse has a joke that at Howard, you know, one of the rites of passage is you've got to participate in a demonstration, and, you know, it doesn't matter what it is, that we'll demonstrate about anything. And so, you know, it's a joke, but it's also true that activism is something that is encouraged, something that you learn there. And I guess the other, it goes to another lesson that we tend to get at HBCUs, and that is to look outside of ourselves. It's not just an individual mission that we typically go there, yes, looking for an education for ourselves, but we also are taught to look outside ourselves and how do we benefit our community, whatever, whether it's a local, national, international.
One last thing on that. At Howard, you find so much support from your competitor, people that you're competing in classes with. You get support from, you know, your competitors. You get support from, you know, people who are older than you. You get support from administration. You get support. That environment allows you to fail, but it allows you to grow safely. Is that something that can be duplicated in other environments? Because when you leave that environment, I haven't found it again. It's hard to even express what that kind of support meant because it really doesn't exist anywhere else.
I unfortunately have to agree with you that I have not found it anywhere else. There may have been pockets of it in different environments, but as a general rule, no, I didn't find it elsewhere. And interestingly, when I first went to law school, I kind of assumed that that would be the case, particularly among African American students. I was in a class of over 200 and there were only 8 of us. And some people would say I had kind of a sorority mentality because I was always bringing us together, and if somebody got sick, then I was, you know, taking them soup or sharing notes and that kind of thing. And then found out later that some of these same folks were hiding notes, and, you know, it was a very cutthroat environment. And so, I mean, you know, it was a hard lesson to learn. It didn't damage me, but it was disappointing in a way. And as you indicated, I don't know that there's been anywhere else that has been quite like that. I will also add, though, that as I have progressed in my career and I've had some very low points, that it was the people who were at Howard with me, who supported me, who lifted me up, even though they were miles away. And I still count on that. I tell people, you know, my homecoming visit is sort of an injection to kind of last me through the year, because there is a sense of nurturing and support and love that I haven't experienced in any other environment.
Well, I am so happy that you were able to take some time out and share a little bit about your experience at an HBCU as we kind of come together to celebrate this new documentary, Tell Them We Are Rising. Former Judge Nina Hickson, thank you so much.
Thank you.